The Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery at 7:49. Coming up in less than a half hour, the Coach Mac, Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, preview the OTA work the Titans will be doing this week on the field at St. Thomas Sports Park. Well, it's going to be a nice day for it today. Let's bring in Virgil Herring from Talking Golf right here on The Zone. The PGA Championship wrapped up yesterday with Brooks Koepka hanging on to win by two strokes, and got a little interesting there, especially on the back nine. Virgil, how are you doing this morning?
Fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. When DJ got within one stroke when he made that birdie on 15, were you like, uh-oh, we're going to have a fantastic finish here?
Well, I didn't quite know what to make of it because, one, is the conditions were so difficult with the wind blowing, dusting up into the low 30 miles per hour on a golf course that's not designed for that kind of wind, that I felt like anything could happen. And I'm sure that Brooks Koepka was thinking Greg Norman in the middle of his head. So anything can happen in that moment. But, you know, as we get a chance to learn more about Brooks Koepka, we notice that he is motivated by being poked. And walking from the 15th green to the 16th tee, everybody went from cheering for Brooks to cheering for DJ, and they were kind of getting in his face. And that's what kind of snapped him out of the funk, because he said that he was choking. And those kind of things, those moments where you're able to take in whatever it is that you need to take in for an impetus to kind of push you through the other side, that's a sign of a great champion. And the fact that he was able to win with probably his C game puts him in a class closer to Tiger. I'm not going to call him Tiger, but in a class closer to Tiger than any of the peers that we see right now, because almost all of them need to be playing at their best to win, and it appears that Brooks Koepka does not.
Yeah, Virgil, you know, for all these, you know, young guns, as everybody calls them, I mean, he has more majors than most of these guys. Why doesn't he get more pub, more run than he does? Or and is all that coming, you think, especially after this win yesterday?
Well, he's purposely closed off, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think that he probably knows what he needs to do to keep himself fired up and ready to compete all the time. And he's a person who needs to have that edge. And as soon as he takes the adulation and all the love from being the best golfer on the planet, he may sense that he loses his edge. So he gives really curt but honest answers that sometimes, and he makes a point clear before he starts talking that he doesn't care if he hurts anybody with what he has to say. So that does not endear him to the non-diehard golf fan. So he doesn't get picked up with all the publicity that a Rory or Jordan Spieth, because they're so engaging and funny, and they tell you the truth, but it with a smile on their face. And it makes it very different of an interview. So you can't really feel like you get to know Brooks Koepka like some of the younger guns. But in many ways, that's not so different than Tiger Woods was in 2000 to 2008, which was he was kind of elusive.
Virgil Herring's our guest. You can hear him on Talking Golf right here on 104.5 The Zone.
Hey, Virgil, man, where is, I guess, holes or weaknesses in Koepka's game?
Well, he really doesn't have many. I mean, once again, anytime a professional golf event is played in winds higher than 20 miles per hour, the scoring average goes up around 3 shots per person. So what we got a chance to watch was somebody playing in really difficult conditions. He is probably one of the 5 best drivers of the golf ball. He's an above-average iron player, and his short game, and it's really his clutch putting from like inside of 8 feet, is remarkably high. He doesn't really have any true weakness, but I would say, if anything, he's not the best mid- to long-iron player, but when you're a guy who never hits them, that makes you a really strong player.
Right.
He did not hit anything less than a 7-iron all week, except on a couple of par 3s the first couple of days. He just the game of golf at the professional level is played at such a high speed and powerful way that most people can't even relate to it anymore.
Mm. Seems like he makes the majors, or I guess his game is fit for the majors because he's won 4 of 8. I mean, why is that?
Well, in his press conference on Wednesday, in which he took a lot of heat for, he said that he feels like winning majors are easy because half the field is done before they get started because they're not good enough to win on that golf course. And the half that are left, half of those guys can't handle the pressure of winning. So that means I only have to beat like 35 guys, and I feel like I'm better than all of them. So like his mindset is similar to Jack and Tiger, in which he goes into the event not looking like he has to beat 156 guys. He's going into the event thinking, I'm only have to beat like 30 of these guys, and at least 10 of them have to be playing their absolute best game to even have a chance to beat me. So, like, that's his mindset, and that's what it really takes to be great at anything.
Virgil, I thought one of the other keys to Koepka winning was even when he was on the bogey train, he didn't put up any crooked numbers. He kept it, you know, he didn't make anything beyond bogey. And you know, with those conditions and under pressure like that, you know, we saw what it did to Harold Varner. I mean, he started putting up ugly numbers. But Koepka at least kept it to bogeys.
Yeah, and how many of those bogeys did he make by making like a 7-footer to save the bogey? That's the kind of grit and toughness that, you know, we look at all of our great athletes, whether we're talking golf, tennis, basketball, football, what have you, is that when things aren't going great, they still figure out a way to get it done, even if it doesn't look pretty. And that is what he does that, you know, the people that we expect to see win more majors, DJ, Rory, Justin Thomas, Jordan, they just don't seem to get it done unless they're clicking in it. I would say, you know, everybody would probably feel like if they're playing great, well, why wouldn't they win? It's the ability to do it when you're not all in, everything's not clicking, and still be able to pull it off. And that's what makes this championship so great for Koepka, is that he did it grinding like crazy with his best friend and probably the most talented golfer in the world breathing down his neck.
If you're Tiger, do you rethink the strategy of not playing any competitive rounds between the Masters and the PGA?
I don't think that he could. I think that he was still extremely sore from the Masters victory. I think that he rode adrenaline. But people would just have to come to grips with the fact we're talking about a guy who's got 3 microdiscectomies and a spinal fusion and 3 left knee surgeries. The guy is not going to be able to pull it off. I think we're going to see a Hogan-esque schedule from Tiger going forward, which we, you know, 9 to 12 events, because his body just can't handle it. And really what we saw is a microcosm of what we expect in the future. If Tiger can't drive the ball in the fairway, he's a non-factor. So when they're playing golf events where they tax the tee ball, like the Bethpage back will, and certainly Pebble Beach will at the U.S. Open, if he doesn't drive it well, which he's really not driven it well in a long time, he's not going to be a factor because of what that does to his approach shot game, which is super critical in the major championship world.
Virgil, great stuff. Appreciate the time this morning.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll see you. Virgil Herring from Talking Golf right here on The Zone.